Okay, we're going to start with kids first. Yay!
You count too.
You're just sitting over there. You don't count. Not yet.
Can you reduce that?
More.
Yeah.
You want to focus this one?
Focus.
Modern art. But it's just, it's like a 3-minute little clip that one devotee, name is Kaliya Krishna, put together and there are three personalities in this little animated clip. One is Prahlad Maharaj, the other is Lord Nrsingadev, and the other is Lord Brahma. So after showing the video clip, I'm going to ask you some questions. Since you're all very good students, I'm sure you'll do very well answering the questions, right? Don't you? You didn't answer. That was a yes, no, or a maybe? Yes, okay. Okay.
My dear Prahlad, I am very much pleased with you. Kindly ask me for any blessing you would like. O Lord, all I want is to have no materialistic desires in my heart. A devotee like you never desires anything materialistic in this life or in the next. Nevertheless, I order you to enjoy the wealth of your dynasty and become its king for a long while. At the same time, as you perform your duties, you should always think of me, serve me, and worship me. Then you will not become attached to such wealth and will remain my devotee. My father committed many offenses against you and me. I beg that you please excuse him for all those offenses. Because you were born in his family, not only has your father Hiranyakashipu with you, but the 21 previous fathers you had in your past lifetimes have also been purified. In fact, your entire dynasty has been cleansed. And those who follow your example will naturally become my devotees. You are the best example, so others should follow your footsteps. The Lord then looked directly at Lord Brahma and said, just as it is dangerous to feed milk to a poisonous snake, it is equally dangerous to give blessings to demons. They are by nature savage and envious. So I warn you, don't give such blessings to them again.
Sure. Wouldn't it have been nice to have a video of Lord Nrsingadev speaking to Prahlad? Or a video of Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill? Or they didn't have technology like that. They had just capturing things by sound vibration. Okay. I'm going to ask some questions. And it's initially kids only.
You're counting.
And then I'll play it again. So what part did, from your knowledge of the pastime, of the appearance of Lord Nrsingadev, what part did Lord Brahma have? Why did Lord Nrsingadev speak to him the way that he did?
No.
Could you hear what she said?
No, Maharaj.
Do you have another microphone?
Oh, it's working.
It's working.
It's a very short leash.
You got you covered now. Is it working?
Be sure and speak loudly into the microphone. Oh, it's not on?
No, it is.
He was the one who gave the powerful.
It was working over here, but it's not working over there.
Switched off right now, but there's a switch on.
Okay.
There's a switch on.
He was the one who
gave Hiranyakashipu all the boons. And it made him powerful. Could you elaborate a little bit? Who is Hiranyakashipu? In his past life, he was Jayan Vijay. And who was he in this life? Yeah. What else besides what his name was? What was his thing?
Very
demoniac.
He wanted to control
everyone. Yeah. Who was his brother?
Hiranyaksha.
And so he wanted to defeat Lord Vishnu. So he came by his austerities, he became very powerful. And then he decided, since I've conquered all the three worlds, all I have left to do is to become eternal, and then I'm God. I'm the controller of everything, and I'll live forever. And so, what did he do in order to get that immortality? Someone else. What did he do to get immortality?
He did austerities.
He did? What austerities did he do?
Severe
austerities. Okay. What kind of severe austerities?
He was standing on his toe.
Yeah. With his arms raised. For how long? 5 minutes, right? 36,000 years. That's a long time. And what happened while he was standing there with on his tiptoes for 36,000 years with his arms raised? What happened?
They
ate his body. So how did he live? She wants to answer that question. No, that's before that. How did he live with the ants eating away his body and his arms raised in the air, standing on his toes for 36,000 years? How long? How did he live? Who knows? You can guess.
His austerity was really powerful.
So. Yeah, and he has a mystic power that he knew how to maintain his life airs within the hollow of his bones. He was a mystic, a yogi. So he was sustaining his life that way because his body was gone. Just a pile of bones with a bunch of ants and an anthill around it. But his life here was sustained that way. And then Lord Brahma came. What did he do? Go ahead. You said it. Yeah, you said. What did he do? Lord Brahma came. Sprinkled water. Why did he sprinkle water? To get his body back. Okay, what happened? He got his body back. It was a beautiful, young Hiranyakashipu body. And then, what happened?
He asked for his boons.
What boons did he ask for?
That he should live forever.
Yeah, and what did Lord Brahma say?
No one can live forever.
Well, he said, I can't give you immortality because I myself am not immortal. So ask for something I can give you. So what did he ask for?
I should not be killed by any weapons.
By any man-made weapon.
Or any other stuff from man has created.
Or anything man has created. Okay. What else? I should not be killed day or night. I should not be killed inside or outside.
High or low.
I remember that one, but that's a good one. Okay. So Lord Brahma gave those benedictions. So what did Lord Srinadev just tell Lord Brahma?
Not to give any benedictions to demons.
And the reason why? They'll misuse it. He had some very choice words to say about demons. So he gave a metaphor. What was the metaphor? Just like giving
milk to the snake.
Giving milk to a snake. What does giving milk to a snake do?
The snake becomes poisonous.
Or the poison of the snake becomes increased. If you have a poisonous snake and you feed a poisonous snake milk, the poisonous snake becomes more poisonous by giving them milk. Similarly, a demon that's given something very nice, like a benediction, makes him even more dangerous. So although it's a form of a half man, half lion, it's actually the Lord of Lord Brahma. The creator of the universe, Lord Brahma, has a master. And his master is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So although he's taken the form of half man, half lion, he's the same master of Lord Brahma, because Lord Brahma was born from, who is the father of Lord Brahma? The father of Lord Brahma was, do you know?
Vishnu.
Okay, there's three Vishnus. You got your choice. Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, or Shiradakshay Vishnu. One of the three, right? You got a 30% chance, 33% chance of getting the right answer. Garbhadakshay Vishnu. Garbhadakshay Vishnu. He's the Lord of the universe. Each universe has Garbhadakshay Vishnu at the center of the universe, and by his presence in the universe expands, and Lord Brahma grows from the navel of Garbhadakshay Vishnu, from a lotus flower that sprouts from the navel of Garbhadakshay Vishnu. Okay, let's go back to the beginning of that little video clip.
Move this microphone closer to you. I want to reduce the...
Okay, fine, fine. Okay. I'm not going to show the video. I'm going to ask some questions. The first person that was speaking was Lord Nrisingadev. What did Lord Nrisingadev have to say? Go ahead. Yeah, ask for benediction. And what did Prahlad Maharaj ask for?
That he
should not be attached to any
material thing.
Could you say it again?
He asked Lord Nrisingadev.
Could you hold the microphone so we can hear you?
He asked Lord Nrisingadev to remove all his material desires.
Material desires. Very good. And what did Lord Nrisingadev say? A devotee like you doesn't have material desires. But still I'm requesting you, rule this kingdom for a long time because you're my very dear devotee. That's why he was asking that. So it was Lord Nrisingadev's desire, was the personality of Godhead's desire, that someone who is very pure in devotion takes a position where they're giving care for others, and the position of a king is ideally one who's giving care and giving protection to others. So though you don't have material desire, it's my request that you take that service and give care and protection to all the citizens in the kingdom. And then Prahlad Maharaj spoke. What did Prahlad Maharaj say about the mistakes that he and his father had made? Can you remember? Should we play it again? We'll play it again.
My dear Prahlad, I am very much pleased with you. Kindly ask me for any blessing you would like. O Lord, all I want is to have no materialistic desires in my heart. A devotee like you never desires anything materialistic in this life or in the next. Nevertheless, I order you to enjoy the wealth of your dynasty and become its king for a long while. At the same time, as you perform your duties, you should always think of me, serve me, and worship me. Then you will not become attached to such wealth and will remain my devotee. My father committed many offenses against you and me. I beg that you please excuse him for all those offenses. Because you were born in his family, not only has your father Hiranyakashipu been glorified, but the 21 previous fathers you had in your past lifetimes have also been purified. In fact, your entire dynasty has been cleansed. And those who follow your example will naturally become my devotees. You are the best example, so others should follow your footsteps. The Lord then looked directly at Lord Brahma and said, just as it is dangerous to feed milk to a poisonous snake, it is equally dangerous to give blessings to demons. They are by nature savage and envious. So I warn you, don't give such blessings to them again.
What the narrator, that's Amala Bhakta, he's taken clusters of verses and distilled them down into a simple summary. When Lord Nrisingadev requested Prahlad to rule the kingdom, he gave him his means of protection. What's that protection? To always
think of him.
And what happens if you always think of the Supreme Lord, Nrisingadev?
He will, like, attached to all the wealth?
All the opulences of the kingdom, or whatever your life is made up of, just by thinking of the Supreme Lord. So, according to earlier, when Prahlad Maharaj is speaking to his father about the processes of devotional service, there's 9 processes of devotional service. They begin with Shravanam. Who knows what the first 3 are? You know what the first 3 are? Shravanam, Kirtanam. You can't remember? It's remembrance. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Smarana means remembrance. You can remember that, right? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Smaranam means remembering. What are the next 3? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam.
Padasevanam.
Padasevanam.
Archanam.
Archanam. Bandhanam. What does bandhana mean? Bandhana? Prayer. Bandhana. Guru Bandhana, right? You sing that? Okay, then there's 3 more. Don't speak into the microphone without being called back. 3 more. Go ahead. Yeah, either one of you. Go ahead, you're in the front row. Take the microphone and speak into it. Dasyam, Sakyam, and Atmanivedanam. Very good. You got all 9. What's the first 3? Shravanam, Kirtanam. You going to remember that word? Remembrance, right? Smaranam, Vishnu Smaranam. Shravanam, Kirtanam. You like hearing and chanting a lot. But what follows hearing and chanting is remembrance of Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj was perfect. He achieved perfection through one of those 9 processes. Which one of those 9 processes was Prahlad perfect at? Which one? Smaranam. Remembrance. He was always remembering the personality of Godhead. And because he was already remembering the personality of Godhead, we heard Lord Nrisingadev say he didn't become attached to all the opulences of his royal birth. And because he wasn't attached, he was always very peaceful. Even in difficult circumstances, he was always very peaceful. Always very peaceful. So then we heard something very important. Prahlad was being literally tortured and, you know, like attempted murder by his father. But when the desire that Prahlad had, besides having no material desire, he wished that he wished well upon his father. What did he say to Lord Nrisingadev about his father? Go ahead.
He said remove all his sinful
reactions. He said that my father has caused great offense to both me and you. Please forgive him. Kindly forgive him. And make clear all the reactions to all of his offensive behaviors. Now, have any of you ever made mistakes? Everyone except you, right? You've made some mistakes? Okay. So we've all made some mistakes. Okay. Now what do we do about those mistakes? What do we do? Besides say we're sorry. What do we do? There's a reaction that may be coming. We try to engage in devotional service. So what did Lord Nrisimhadev say? All the reactions that your father has accumulated, because you've become a devotee, they're already moved. In fact, how many generations? 21 generations. So what does that say? If you become, any one of you or any one of us, become like Prahlad Maharaj, 21 generations become freed from all the reactions of all of their past misdeeds. Wow. Better become a pure devotee. That's the best service you can do to help any family member. And how do you become a pure devotee? Oh, it's not so easy, right? How do you do that? By following the example of Prahlad Maharaj. Do you remember the verse that we read at the temple on Sunday evening where Prahlad said that you have sent me into this world just for the purpose of setting an example so that others could become purified in this dark place of material existence. Now I'm going to go away from the video for a moment and just, we can shut that down. Tomorrow we're honoring the appearance day of Lord Nrisimhadev. And one of the ways to honor Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance is to honor Prahlad Maharaj, the person for whom Lord Nrisimhadev appeared. And one of the personalities in the Bhagavatam that Srila Prabhupada liked to honor very much was Prahlad. One of the things that I've been listening to some lectures from the seventh canto Bhagavatam, and invariably Prabhupada spoke, you know, for any one of the verses and classes that I've been hearing, speaking about Prahlad Maharaj as being a Mahajan, a perfected soul, according to the message of the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are great authorities. There's people in general, the word is jana, and then there's Mahajana, great personalities. And Yamaraj announces or addresses to his followers, there are 12 Mahajanas, and one of them is Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj was very small when this incident took place. He was just 5. How old are you? Yeah. You're 9? Prahlad was 5. And he was being honored by the demigods. Wow. Because he was a pure devotee. Not only a pure devotee, the best of pure devotees. Even before he was born, he was recognized by one of those Mahajans, Narada, that the child within his mother's womb would be a great devotee. So he was a Mahajan even before he did anything. What to speak of when he started receiving teachings of Narada and then living by those teachings of Narada and constantly remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the stage of spiritual perfection. Here's some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam where the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj are described. I hope I can find it quickly. Yeah. The qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, the son of Hiranyakashipu, are described herewith. He was completely cultured as a qualified brahmana, having very good character and being determined to understand the absolute truth. He had full control of his senses and mind. Like the Supersoul, he was kind to every living entity and was thus the best friend of everyone. To respectable persons, he acted exactly like a menial servant. To the poor, he was like a father. To his equals, he was attached like a sympathetic brother. And he considered his teachers, spiritual masters, and other God-brothers to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was completely free from unnatural pride that might have arisen from his good education, riches, beauty, aristocracy, and so on. Although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, he himself was not an asura, but is a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. Unlike other asuras, he was never envious of Vaishnavas. He was not agitated when put into danger, and he was neither directly nor indirectly interested in fruitive activities described in the Vedas. Indeed, he considered everything material to be useless, and therefore he was completely devoid of material desires. He always controlled his senses and life air, and, being steady in intelligence and determination, he subdued all lusty desires. O King, this is Shukadeva Goswami describing, Prahlad Maharaj's good qualities are still glorified by learned saints and Vaishnavas, as all good qualities are always found existing in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They also exist forever in his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. So, to become a devotee, to become that kind of devotee that can deliver 21 generations of your relatives, one needs to follow the footsteps of great authorities. Mahajano yena katha sapanta. That's a verse that was, Prabhupada liked to quote. It's a verse from Mahabharata where Yudhisthira Maharaj is answering a question by the Yaksha. You know about the Yaksha that came out of the lake and was asking Maharaj Yudhisthira questions before he could drink from the lake because he was very thirsty? So he was asking questions about Dharma. It was actually a disguised form of Yamaraj, who is none other than the father of Yudhisthira. So he was asking questions and questions, and one of the tricky questions he asked, he said, there's the laws of Dharma are very complex. So when there's a contradiction of one principle of Dharma and another principle of Dharma, as often happens, how are you to understand what is the right activity to be done? What is to be done? What is not to be done? And Yamaraj said, what you said is true. It's very complex. And so the discerning capacity of an individual is limited in something that's very complex. It's hard to say. Therefore, we should simply follow the example of the Mahajans. And by following the example of the Mahajans, we're assured of being successful in following the proper path of duty. And Yaksha accepted that explanation. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. The goal of life is reached by following the path of the perfected souls. And Prahlad Maharaj is one of them. So, when Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared and protected Prahlad, he destroyed this demoniac personality that was trying in so many ways to kill his own son, but was unsuccessful because Prahlad was protected. So after Hiranyakashipu was removed, the demigods tried to pacify the Lord's anger, but his anger remained. So Prahlad began offering prayers. He was asked by the demigods to offer prayers. And his qualities are shown within his prayers. The first quality that Prahlad Maharaj exhibited was his humility. It's the first quality of a great soul, is that they're very humble. Say it the other way around. Prabhupada gave this explanation. Does it seem right if a saintly person is arrogant? There's something wrong with that picture, that if a saintly person is arrogant, not so saintly. Oh, a saintly person is humble. But when a saintly person is elevated, but an elevated person, the Vedic example is given of a tree that's laden with fruits. And the tree that's laden with fruits, its branches are bending down to the ground. A great personality, similarly, they're abundant with wisdom and virtue and so many nice qualities. And because they're laden with those nice qualities, like a tree with so many fruits, they're bending down. Not necessarily cowering with their body posture, but their mood is very humble before others. And that's the first quality that Prahlad exhibited when he was offering his prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev. He expressed that, "I don't have any qualification to come before you, what to speak of, offer prayers. I have abundant disqualification. I'm the son of Hiranyakashipu, the terror of the universe. And my birth is demoniac. I have demoniac blood coursing through my veins. I'm filled with material desires. I have all disqualification and no qualification. But I'm being asked to do a service nonetheless. The service I'm being asked to do is by the demigods, and they're my superiors. So how can I deny my superiors? Actually, they should be offering the prayers because they're the qualified ones, but they've asked me. So I can't deny the service they've asked." And then he describes the nature of the service. The nature of the service is to pacify one who is already satisfied in himself. And how is that possible? It's another apparent contradiction, paradox. He says the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, is always fully satisfied in himself. Therefore, when something is offered to him, the offering, by the Lord's mercy, is for the benefit of the devotee who is making the offering. For the Lord does not need service from anyone. So he's saying, I've come before you to offer something to you, offer some words to calm your anger. But I can't offer anything to you don't already have. You're already full in yourself. So the person who's getting the benefit is not you by my offering some nice words to you, it's me by having some service given to me very kindly by the demigods. Then he makes a very nice metaphor. He says, if one's face is decorated, the reflection of one's face in a mirror is also seen to be decorated. Oh, Right? You're putting on your tilak. And as you're putting on your tilak, the reflection in the mirror has some tilak. You're not looking at your own face because your face is over here and your eyes are behind your face. So you're looking at the reflection. And in essence, you're putting the tilak on the reflection. But it's not putting the tilak on the reflection, it's putting the tilak on your face, on your forehead. By glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes glorified. By decorating the Lord with choice words and prayers from one's heart, one's own good qualities come out. Even if one may not have good qualities, or apparently they may be covered. As Prahlad is saying, I don't have any good qualities, I don't have any qualification. But I'm going to be benefited by this service. Then he concludes, therefore, even though I was born in a demoniac family, I may, without a doubt, offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor, as far as my intelligence allows. That is to say, your nature is merciful. I know that you're merciful because you're merciful. Even if I offer you something that's very small and insignificant, because you're merciful, you'll accept it. We're given some service to do, and we don't have, what qualification do we have? But if we offer something sincerely, the Lord accepts because he's merciful, and we become benefited because then we got the opportunity to render some service. Anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter into the material world may be purified of material life if he offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glories. What are those two processes? Offering prayers to the Lord. Kirtanam. And hears the Lord's glories. Shravanam. So if we engage in Shravanam and Kirtanam, or Kirtanam and Shravanam, or back and forth, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Shravanam, Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting, our hearts become cleansed. And as our hearts become cleansed, then we have some qualification to offer something even nicer than when we don't have qualification. So hearing and chanting helps to make us more qualified to make better offerings. So we start with disqualification and no qualification, but by hearing and chanting, some qualification. At least the qualification of some degree of purification, so we can make better offerings. And it continues like that, by that process. Oh my Lord, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma are sincere servants of your Lordship, who are situated in a transcendental position, therefore they are not like us, that's my father and myself, Hiranyakashipu and me. Your appearance in this fearsome form is your pastime for your own pleasure. Such incarnation is always meant. For the protection and improvement of the universe. This is his first direct glorification. Or second, first is the Lord is very merciful. He accepts even we're not qualified because his nature is merciful. He accepts if we offer something sincerely. Second is he purifies our existence by that process of making such offerings. And the third is as he's present through that means of glorification, he's making himself available for the protection and the well-being and preservation of society. So, appearance days of the Lord are very special in our Vaishnava calendar. For many of us, or most of us, will be observing fasting tomorrow until the appearance day, appearance time of the Lord. Generally, in our Vaishnava practice, on appearance days of great Vaishnavas or Vishnu Tattva forms, we fast for half a day. But there are four very special days throughout the whole year where we generally, Prabhupada has given us this instruction, that we try to fast for the whole day. The fasting on Janmashtami is until midnight because that's when the Lord appeared, at midnight. And the fasting for Lord Nrisingadev is when Lord Nrisingadev appeared. And that was neither day nor night, but at dusk. Neither day nor night. So it's just about getting there. Tomorrow at 8:30. Prasadam. What time is the prasadam going to be served at the temple tomorrow?
Tomorrow?
Who knows?
It started at 9 o'clock.
At 9 o'clock? Because the nice drama, right?
Yeah. But we will serve prasadam at 9. Even if the drama goes
on. Even if the drama is still going on.
Yeah.
I know what I'm going to be doing. I want to spend some time with Devamata Swami. We're thinking we could take prasadam together. Is there a way to arrange that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So we're observing fasting in honor of Lord Nrisingadev's appearance. So take some nice prasadam tonight. Our hosts will be very happy that you took nice prasadam, and you'll be able to endure the fasting tomorrow more easily. If you're not fasting, that's okay too. Take nice prasadam tonight. And try to think of Lord Nrisingadev, because we heard him say that simply by remembering him, one becomes attached to him, and by becoming attached to him through remembrance, all attraction for worldly things, things that distract the mind and make the mind agitated, one becomes peaceful. It doesn't mean that you live in a cave and something like that, but in the worldly circumstance, like Prahlad, he's telling Prahlad, become the king. Live in this opulent palace of the king. But not in a mood of attachment, but in the mood of remembrance and service unto me. Because by that remembrance, the worldly attraction fades. Because that inner happiness and inner satisfaction takes care of all the desires for happiness. It's the greatest of all happiness. It's true, it works like that. Okay. Let's have a final kirtan.